Welcome back. Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Right now, you're going to win tickets to see Disturbed at Capital One Arena. Your tickets to the Sickness 25th Anniversary Tour are yours as of right now for the show on Monday, March 17th, Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. We'll be giving away Disturbed tickets all week here on GND. Your next chance to win is at 4 o'clock tomorrow ahead of the Beltway Blitz. The show is brought to you today and every day by our friends Kondori and Murad, the law firm that'll help you set up a last will and testament, get you a trust squared away for you or your family. Go schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys right now at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. But let's get to the phones and welcome onto the show Austin Eckler, who's with us every Tuesday right at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. Trusted insight from a trusted insider, presented by IT Cadre, where DC sports insiders share their exclusive perspective. No more insightful guest and more trusted insider than Austin Eckler, who is with us. Austin, another home game, another home blowout, another win. You've got to be feeling good.
Oh, feeling good. Made it through that game pretty clean, so body's feeling ready to go for another week, man. Yeah, it was a great team win. It's not easy to win the NFL, and so when you can get one like that, you definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's get into it. So much good happened, obviously, in this game, but Jaden goes down. What's the vibe like kind of in that moment? You guys obviously rallied. The offense was unbelievable. You scored a whole bunch of points, moved the football, but what's said right there and you know, kind of take us through that moment?
Yeah, obviously, with any of our players, it sucks to see anyone go down. And Jaden's no different. You know, we see him go down and see him finish the drive, and he kind of doesn't look like himself, maybe dealing with some pain or whatever he was dealing with then. And then, the next drive, we see Marcus come up. I didn't really know what was going on because I don't go over there, and I'm, like, trying to, like, figure it out. Like, that's what we have the doctors for. And so the next time I realized something was wrong was when Marcus was out there in the huddle, and someone's like, "Hey, is Marcus out there?" I didn't even know at first. I was like, "I don't think so." And it's like, "Yeah, he's in the huddle." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, I guess Marcus is up." And I mean, for us, like, nothing skips a beat. Like, we have to continue to play, like, regardless of what's going on. Like, you don't even really have time to be like, "Oh, like, what? I wonder what happens." It's like, "Okay, well, if Marcus is up, let's go, let's roll." I actually had something similar happen with Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert. With Justin's rookie year, mm-hmm. In his second game, all of a sudden, first kickoff or first play, Justin's out there. I'm like, why is Justin out here? But it's one of those things where, you know, things happen, injuries happen, obviously, but regardless, you got to continue to go out there and play. So that was kind of our mindset.
Yeah, and you guys certainly did that. What are there differences? Not just in terms of the player, obviously different players, but in terms of cadence, in terms of maybe some of the little things that we wouldn't think about, like is the voice inflection different? Is there any kind of adjustment there where you got to be on your P's and Q's?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a difference, 100%. Everyone kind of has their own style and their own, you know, way of running the offense. And even being in the offense. And so Marcus is no different there. He's got his own style. But we've been working with this guy for really all of our quarterbacks for, I don't even know how long now, a few months. So, we didn't really, like I said, skip a beat when we got in there. He went in there, he led everything. He prepares every single week like he's going to be playing, because that's the type of pro he is. That's why he's been around for so long. And that's why he's able to, you know, continue to have the production that he did, even though he didn't get any of the first team reps, you know, during the week.
Yeah, I can't imagine how hard that is. Austin Eckler with us here on Grant and Danny. Just and speak to that a little bit, how hard that can be, because obviously Jaden Daniels should get a lot of reps. He's a rookie. He's a starting quarterback. There's a million things that he's got to work on and, you know, continue to improve on every week. How tough is that to basically come in cold? And it took him maybe a couple throws talking about Mariota, but he was dealing thereafter. How difficult is that? Help us understand.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely difficult. So, I mean, for those of you that are maybe don't know, like, Jaden takes every single first team rep. Like, Marcus doesn't take any of the first team reps. So what Marcus is taking, he's taking what's called the scout team. And so usually your backup quarterback is the one that runs the scout team, and you're running off of a card, and you try to, like, in your head as players, try to, like, associate the card with a play that we have so you can continue to find some type of work in that from the mental aspect. But from the physical aspect, it's still football, right? So he's still out there running, throwing, you know, still has to make the throws. So he's still getting his physical work in. And I guess the biggest difference is just kind of being in tune with the game plan and being in the timing with the starters and everything like that, that you don't really get that practice. But that's part of, you know, being in the NFL and being able to stay in the NFL is being able to adjust on the fly. And I think this is like year 10 for Marcus, maybe even longer. So he's shown that he's been able to do that. So, and we saw it there on Sunday too.
Austin, what's it like for the offense when Carolina's opening drive is rudely interrupted by Dante Fowler taking it the other way for points? Like, what's the sideline doing? What are you guys doing on offense there in that moment when he's taking one to the house?
I'm turning to the guys next to you. I'm like, hey, good offense. And I'm giving high fives. Right. Like, good offense. Good job, boys. We scored. Yeah, we didn't have to do it. I don't even remember the last time I was a part of a defensive score. It's been a while. So that was definitely a good way to start the game. Obviously, the best way to start the game for us. And it felt like it kind of felt weird when we got out there on offense because we had already had 7 points, mm-hmm. but it was late in the game. It seemed like just because we had points on the board. I don't even think it was really that late. I think it was like 5 minutes into the game, but it just seemed so much later because we had already had a lead. But this was the first time getting on the field.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, I'm sure. So you're such a pro, and you've been doing this for a long time, and you've been so productive. So here's something I wonder about, right? I know how a diva would do it, but I'm wondering how Austin Ekeler does it, if you do it at all. So my rudimentary brain, just watching the game, you guys, and this isn't a complaint because the offense obviously was awesome. You guys just moved the football and scored at will. But there were a couple plays that I noticed where the ball didn't go to you, where if it had, I feel like there was so much real estate, maybe an Austin Ekeler touchdown, at minimum kind of big gains. There was one throw in particular, went to Ertz on a 3rd and 7, you know, maybe just shy of the sticks. I feel like you were up at the top of sort of the screen as I'm watching, but close to the sideline all alone. How do you bring that up to somebody? Like, is it one of those gentle, like, oh, hey, you know, by the way, you know who's open on that play? Me, hi. Or, like, how do you do that in a way that's not a pain in the butt? How do you do it in a professional way? Or do you do it at all?
Yeah, you know, when you play running back, you learn pretty quickly that you're not the number one or two or even three read most of the time. And there might be times where they drop you completely wide open and the quarterback's still looking down the field. Because what's the quarterback trying to do? The quarterback's trying to throw the ball down the dang field. He's not trying to check it down. You know, if he's in trouble, maybe he's trying to check it down. But if there's no pressure or anything like that, then, hey, let's continue to work it down the field. And, you know, there's going to be times like that. And so, playing with running backs, I mean, you can see, you know, probably an example every game of guys that were wide open and that for whatever reason, because it's, you know, there was pressure or the rhythm, the first read, second read, third read kind of played itself out and you didn't get to the wide open guy. It's not easy to see everything that's going on the field. And that's why, you know, having an elite quarterback, you know, is the rarity nowadays, to be able to find someone who can have a rhythm, make it work and, you know, continue to keep the drives alive. And so, look, everyone's not perfect. There's going to be times where, hey, you know, one got away from us. But it's something I've gotten used to as a running back. It's like, man, like, sure, they could have checked it down. But sometimes I've been like, man, he should have checked it down, and he flung it down the field, and we got like a 30-yard gain. Right. I'm like, that's why he didn't check it down, you know. So mm-hmm. I don't play quarterback. So Marcus has to make those decisions and find out where he wants to be with the ball, and so does Jaden. So, unfortunately, yeah, there's going to be plays out there where it's like, dang, probably could have got a bunch more out of that. But, hey, you never know, and that's, you know, that's why I'm playing running back and not quarterback.
Austin, Ben Sinnott gets his first career touchdown on a catch there. And it leads me to kind of bring up the tight end spot in general. I feel like this is such an unselfish group. And I was really happy for Sinnott to be able to get a nice little bit of candy and some reward. So much blocking, so effective kind of in that way, and maybe not getting a ton of targets in that regard. So that was really cool to see him break through and get that touchdown. But, I mean, talk about that group in particular. I feel like, and again, just watching you guys play is so much fun at this point, but everybody's pitching and everyone's pulling the rope, but I feel like the tight end spot, those guys are blocking their you-know-what's off to really help that trio of running backs you guys are who are just rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it all right there. Like, we have a tight end group that we have a lot of different types of skill sets in that room, you know, whether it's, you know, someone that can catch, like Ertz with all of his, you know, records that he's breaking and moving up the record boards and touchdowns and you know, young people like Ben, you know, things like that. We got John Bates up over there too, big body blocking guy as well. So there's a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. And actually with Ben, that was his first target of the year as mm-hmm. well. So his first target, his first catch, and his first touchdown came on one play, and I was like, man, he should just, you know, ask to never have the ball thrown to him again, because every time, you know, don't want to mess up the efficiency.
Seriously.
But no, that, I was happy for him. You know, we got to work on this spike and everything like that. But hey, it's the first time I remember my first touchdown. I definitely didn't have a plan. But yeah, definitely glad to have the tight end room that we have. A lot of diversity in there as far as skill sets, and a lot of them that can actually play at a high level too. So it's great.
What did you guys think you'd be able to do against this Carolina team game plan wise, and how did that play out over the course of the game?
Well, I mean, for us, it's not necessarily about, hey, they're going to stop us. We think we're going to score every single time we touch the ball. Mm-hmm. So as far as our game plan, it's like being in the right spot, staying on track, making sure we're staying efficient. You know, we have the no huddle, so we're making sure that, you know, we're trying to eliminate penalties, play the best ball that we could play, which comes down to us being in the right spot, being on the same page, great communication, you know, great alignment, great assignment, great technique. There's all these little things that add up. That's why we practice as much as we do, so that it comes together. And you guys are like, man, this is really fun to watch. It looks like they're making it look easy out there. Well, that's what being a pro is about. If you can make it look easy, you're probably doing it really well and at a high level. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make our offense look seamless, go down, score points, and make it look like, dang, like anyone could go out there and do that, because it's really not that easy. But it is if you put in the work and you're on the same page with everyone, coordinators and players. So for us, it's all about us. Hey, how can we protect the ball, number one? How can we continue to move the chains, protect our quarterback, and be efficient? And so that's exactly what we did. That's what we were on Sunday.
And that's what I wanted to get into, Austin. It doesn't feel like lip service, because a lot of times where teams or players or coach or whoever will say, yeah, we're worried about ourselves. Well, there's got to be some mindful eye towards their opponent that week, right? But it feels like you guys really are. If we do our thing, it doesn't matter what is going to be thrown against us, right? Because the way that you guys are executing, the myriad looks of the offense, the misdirection, keeping people flat-footed, all the weapons that you guys have and the way it's being deployed, it almost doesn't matter what they do, because you're going to find there's a counter for everything, it feels like. Go into that a little bit.
That's what offense is about in the NFL. You know, look, there's not that many defenses you can play. So there's going to be some type of structure. You know, we probably already played against it this year. So, all right, we understand the structure. Okay, now let's look at the personnel. Do they have any werewolves or guys that are, like, really standout players that can really, we call them game wreckers, wreck the game? If they are, we're very mindful of that, you know, chipping people on the edge, you know, making sure that we have things that can beat, hey, if we want to isolate, if this person's isolated, maybe we're going away, we're checking away from that person. So there's always counters to what we see as strengths on a defense. And so that's how you play the game. And can you execute those, and are they working? Which means in our offense especially, hey, other people are going to have to make plays all over the field. And if the more you can do that, the harder you're going to be to defend, because you can counter other people's strengths. And that's what offense is about. And that's what defense is about, right? They're trying to do the opposite. They're trying to counter our strengths. But if you have too many strengths, you can't stop anybody. And this is like an offensive league. So there's going to be points that are going to put up, because that's what's exciting for fans, and that's how the league's been set up. And so, you know, we're rolling right now, and we feel like even with, you know, when Marcus went in there, you asked about that, like, hey, what's the feeling? Like, we have, as we saw, so many people that made an impact in the game, and we've continued to have that over time. It's not just one person. Like you see on some teams where it's like there's a few dominant guys, and those are the guys. And, I mean, hey, some of those guys have earned that respect, but I feel like we have a very well-rounded offense with definite playmakers all over, and we're kind of exploiting that for ourselves.
You certainly are. And the offense is rolling. It's dominant. It is an absolute blast to watch. Let's get into Chicago a little bit. That's a good club, seems like. They have a young quarterback in their own right. You may have heard about that. But that's a pretty good defense. That's a 4-2 team coming off a bye week here this week. What kind of challenges do they bring?
Yeah, I'm on Tuesday. And, you know, we
film
on Tuesday. So I have not watched 1 second of their film. So I just know that, hey, yeah, Coach Lynn was like, hey, we have a good defense. We're going to be, you know, coming up against this week. So we'll give them the respect they deserve, and we'll counter any of their werewolves they have on their team, any of their game wreckers. And we'll continue to, like I said, practice being efficient, being on the same page, communicate, play fast, good technique, good effort, high effort. That's one of the things that we preach all the time, effort, effort, run into the ball. You never know which is going to be the play that's going to break, or you're going to need to recover a fumble. So coaching things like that, when you preach things like that on a daily basis and coach things like that on a daily basis, it doesn't even matter what the X's and O's are. Like, you're going to have a good team culture that buys into that and actually goes out there. It's going to be really competitive regardless of, you know, the playmakers and the X's and O's. So that's what we have. And then you put all the other stuff on top of it, and that's why we've had success here is what I believe anyway. So Bears coming in, I know it's going to be a great matchup. I know a lot of people are excited about this one because, yeah, I think their quarterback's from this area too, right?
Yes.
So, has some roots around the area, so it'll be an East Coast showdown, you know?
Austin, my last one for you is this. We had your guy Jeremy McNichols on yesterday. And
nice.
We asked, yeah, he was awesome. Such a cool story. It's so cool that he's caught on, had some success. And we asked him, like, playfully, like, hey, we got Austin Eckler on tomorrow. You want us to pass on any playful trash talk where it's like, I've got three touchdowns and Austin doesn't or something like that. And he literally, Austin, he refused to do it. And he's like, nope, we root for each other. I was like, dude, it's playful. We're just joking around. And he wouldn't even do it. And it speaks to what you're just talking about, that, like, that not even in, like, a fun, jovial manner, he's like, I'm not doing that crap, you pudgy idiot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He wouldn't do it. And I was just blown away by that. It really seems like this the stuff that you guys are preaching about, brotherhood, being together, it's actually happening, and it's really, really cool.
Well, let me tell you this, like, especially our running back room, so thankful to have the room that we have. And after every single practice, we come together in a circle. There's five of us. We all put our arms around each other's shoulders. Like, our heads are, like, leaning forward in the middle, if you can imagine, like, a little huddle right there. And we just talk about, like, hey, how's the day go? Like, hey, this is what we need to pick up. You know, someone had individuals, maybe dropped a ball or something like that. Or, hey, maybe you line up in the wrong spot. Hey, let's make sure we clean that up. We're talking about all these little details and making sure that, hey, don't make the same mistake I did on this one. Remember this. Like, we're coming together to make sure that everyone else is prepared to have success when they step on the field. And that's something I haven't done anywhere else, just because I don't think it's been coached as much. As it is here, so it feels more natural here. And it's something that makes coming into work pretty awesome, man. So loving what we got going on here. So, yeah, there's definitely no trash talk in our room. You know, if there is, it's definitely friendly. You know, yep. I'm probably the one that probably talks the most trash, and it's probably about, you know, not putting enough weight on the bar, you know, in the weight room, and I'm just messing around or something like that. I don't know. Who knows? But, yeah, really good culture, really good vibes. We're definitely looking out for each other, and we know that this is a long season. We're going to need all of us to come out and make plays so that we can make it through and stay at this level that we're at. And, man, I'm so, so excited for it.
Austin, terrific as always, buddy. Have a great week. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, man. Thank you.
All right, sounds good. See ya.
That is Austin Eckler, presented by IT Cadre. IT Cadre is trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose.
Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny. Next, if Daniels doesn't play on Sunday, can a Mariota-led Washington still beat Chicago? This is The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Austin Eckler's the best. Thanks to him for joining us. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. If Jaden Daniels does not play Sunday against the Bears, can Washington still beat Chicago? And the answer to that, when you say can they, is an obvious yes. The Bears are probably equal to, around the same
bucket. That's a pretty good team.
As Washington. But will they, I think, is a different question. How differently will you feel about the game with or without Daniels? Knowing they're coming off of a game, I know it was Carolina, but when he got hurt and Mariota came in, they just kind of kept chugging along as if nothing had changed.
Yeah, the Chicago team is leveling up from that, certainly. That's a nice little, you know, in the middle of the SEC season, scheduling Alabama State or Troy or somebody a little bit lesser, right? So Chicago's pretty good. They could absolutely do that. It would require some of that similar precision, requires not turning it over, kind of the same recipe, but you're just going to see less of the highlights, less of the oh my God plays, right? There's a little bit more matriculation, a little bit more Mariota underneath, Mariota, more design run. You know, you're, I don't think you get that haymaker, deep, beautiful ball to Terry McLaurin or a shot down the field to Dyami Brown with consistency with Mariota. That's not really what his strength has been as a passer.
Certainly had it all game long against the Panthers, but you're right, that was the worst pass defense in the league. Just to give people some perspective on Chicago, right? So they played Carolina this past week. Carolina's 31st defensively in yards per play. The Bears are 5th. Carolina's 23rd against the run. The Bears are 20th, kind of similar. But against the pass, the Panthers are 31st and the Bears are 3rd. You're talking about one of the two worst teams in the NFL at defending the pass versus now one of the three best. In interception rate, forcing you into mistakes, disguising coverages, jumping routes, picking you off, the Bears are 24th out of 32 teams. Excuse me, the Panthers are 24th out of 32 teams, and the Bears are 5th. In sack percentage, getting to the quarterback, forcing you to make quick decisions, getting the ball out of your hand before you're comfortable, actually getting you on the ground. How about Carolina 31st, Chicago 7th? This is a night and day matchup. Leveling up, you called it. I love that. You are going up a weight class here. And this is why I really hope Daniels can go and he's okay. Because I actually think this will be the most telling matchup for this offense that we have seen all season long. The best defense that Washington's played to this point this season would be Cincinnati, ranking 10th. But that was not when they played them.
Yeah.
The Bengals had a bunch of injuries.
Bad defense then.
I think they ranked like 28th going into that game. Because it's funny to say this, like it was forever ago, still early in the season. But that was week 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's week 8. So, I mean, that was not the same Bengals team. So if you're looking for a team that actually was playing pretty good defense, the Browns right now rank 15th, and that's where they were when Washington played them. This is a top 5 Bears defense. So this would be the first real, true Kingsbury, Daniels, stiff challenge, big-time test, and they might not even get to take the thing.
Yeah, they've only given up 21 points once, or over 20 points once this year, talking about Chicago. Shoved it on the Houston Texans offense. They've beaten everybody all comers. They just did to Carolina a couple weeks ago what Washington just did to Carolina. It was not a contest. They dominated that game. Combined 71 points over their last 2 weeks of games played, coming off a bye week as well, by the way, an extra week to get everybody on the same page and kind of get up to snuff. They scuffled really badly early. Caleb Williams, they didn't seem like they were putting him in good spots talking about Chicago. Over the last few weeks, it just seems like the comfort has come. Now that Keenan Allen's got himself back and ready to go, there are more options. They've kind of figured out who they are on offense. They've been humming pretty good, and that defense travels. That is a good group. You look at their turnover column, it's a lot of numbers that are more than 0 and 1. I mean, there's a 3 and 2 and 2 and 3 and 2. They have been really, really good on that side of the ball. This is a big challenge.
Yeah, takeaways, if you're just looking at the total on the season, the Chicago Bears are 3rd in the NFL. They're tied with the Pittsburgh Steelers with 13 takeaways.
Yeah, with a bye week.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. I mean, that's total for the season. Now, I will say that a couple of the teams up there, like Minnesota, have also had bye weeks. But the point is, they generate takeaways.
Yes, they do.
They're going to pick you off, and they're going to force fumbles. The Commanders have been very lucky. They've fumbled 7 times and only lost 1 so far. That is not sustainable.
No, it is not. It's usually a 50-50 proposition.
But if you remember, Daniels fumbled 3 times against Tampa statistically. That means they've only fumbled 4 times as a team collectively for everybody since week 1, which I think I would take that.
Side unseen, I'll take it right now.
A fumble a week over a 6-week or so sample. But that's why I'm just so interested in this matchup is if it's Daniels and Kingsbury, they won't be tested like this again for a little while. And this is a playoff caliber, frankly, a championship level type defense in the Montez Sweat revenge game. What's going to happen is if Marcus Mariota plays, I can tell you right now how this will play out. They're going to have their worst offensive game, probably either way. I think if Daniels plays or if Mariota plays, just because they're playing a better defense. But let's just say Mariota plays, you know what the narrative's going to be. And while he's not as good as Jaden Daniels, and they will miss Jaden Daniels, so some of that is true, the narrative is going to be, well, if Jaden Daniels played, they would have had this great game. And that's why if Daniels plays and they do, then we can just say, okay, the great offense beat the great defense, and we don't have to worry about when they play great defenses that much because we've already seen and proven now that they can get the better of the matchup. If he doesn't play and Mariota in this offense gets shut down a little bit, then it's just going to feel like if Daniels had played, it might have gone differently. When it's really more of a tell that you leveled up and they found some things. But I just want to get Washington's best shot. That's the real evaluation.
Yeah, and these are, you know, Dan Quinn and company, and rightfully so, they, and you heard Austin Ekeler and our interview with him, talk about they worry about themselves and their dialogue and their messaging is really, really good. We get to do stuff like measuring stick games, right? They're just trying to compete and beat the guy in front of them and all that rhetoric, and that's great. They can worry about what they want to. The Pudgy Zilches, like you and I, we could talk about it, right, in terms of measuring stick. You like that, right? This is a really good offense that we know can dominate lesser opponents. Well, this is not a lesser opponent. This is a good opponent that's got some pelts on the wall this year. They have done really good things on that side of the football. Their offense, talking about Chicago's, has been slow to build, didn't get going as fast as Washington's, but it has as well. So what can you do against the group that's good? Like, you're like, again, I always bring it to baseball. You're a good offensive team. That's awesome. Now you got to face Cy Young caliber Jacob DeGrom in a must-win game. He shoves it on everybody. Can he shove it on you too? Now here's your challenge, right? This is a really good evaluation time for, again, this offense and their bona fides. It legitimizes what we've already seen. If you do it against the good teams to a degree, like we saw against Baltimore, some, it wasn't as good as it's been. But if you do what you do to the bad teams to the good teams, now you graduate from, yeah, that's nice too. Damn, they're legit.
Here's why they can still beat the Bears without Daniels, if it comes to it. Chicago's offense, while trending up and much better over the last few weeks, is just not that good. It's a bottom five offense in the NFL still. They are second to last in running the football. They've had a good game recently, but that is far from their calling card. They're bottom eight in throwing the football. They turn the football over with interceptions. They give up a million sacks. Caleb Williams holds on to the ball, and he does the worst thing you can possibly do, which is like scramble into and run into sacks. He holds on to the ball. He does the whirling dervish. Let me spin around. Let me run left. Let me run right. Now I've gone 10 yards behind the original line of scrimmage, and now I reverse field. I'm another 7 yards back, and I just lost 19 on a sack. Like, he'll do one of those crazy weird things that never makes any sense. So they can be behind the sticks more often via your pass rush than I think most of Washington's opponents, which I like a lot. Jay Gruden came on the show yesterday, thinks he needs it to be a low-scoring game. I don't like Washington's defense to be the team to keep teams to low-scoring games when you're not playing Deshaun Watson or the Panthers, who are one of the worst teams in the league. But I will say that the Bears' offense is not good. They're playing a lot better. They certainly looked the part the last few weeks. They're coming off a bye. I'm sure they'll have a good plan. I'm not completely sold on Shane Waldron, their offensive coordinator. But this is a beatable offense. Even in the three wins here where they've scored 24, 36, and 35 points, it's been one of those things where the Rams, Panthers, and Jaguars get heavy assists on that. So I actually think Washington can hold them to around 20 points. Force a couple of field goals, force a couple takeaways, and then you can win a 23-20 kind of game.
See, I'm a little bit higher on their offense now than you are, but not by much, by like maybe half of a letter grade. To me, it's the last thing you said is the turnovers. He's going to give you a chance. Caleb Williams does dazzling, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that type stuff. He also does, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that type stuff. You know what I mean? Like throwing it back across the field off of his off foot, underhanded, you know, whatever. He's going to give you a chance, in all likelihood, right, if you keep the pressure on.
It's time for a Caps power play as we get ready for Caps hockey. Capitals have won three in a row. They're in Philly tonight to try to make it four in a row. Tom Wilson, four games to start the season consecutively strung together now with a goal. He's got five goals in these four games. They'll try to make it 5-for-5 with goal number six tonight. Alex Ovechkin scored on Saturday night in New Jersey. His first goal of the season, he'll try to make it back-to-back road games to kick off the season with a goal. If the Caps can win tonight, they'll have 8 points out of a possible first 10 on the year. Can't ask for a whole lot more than that.
You certainly take that. Philadelphia comes in struggling under John Tortorella, which you just hate to see. You hate the idea that those guys aren't happy. But they are 1-3-1 to start the year. Part of this hockey feeding frenzy opening week here where they're staggering the game schedules, and that's why the early start's coming. This should be a fun one.
Yeah, the frozen frenzy is frozen called frenzy tonight on ESPN. All right, tomorrow we've got Commander Survivor on the show. We're also going to blitz the East at 5 o'clock. Thomas Dimitroff, the former general manager of the Falcons, will join us at 6. Want to see what he would do if he was running Washington ahead of the trade deadline. So we'll talk to him about that at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Remember, we're coming to Manassas on Friday for our Football Friday field trip. Our series continues at Uptown Alley in Manassas. We'll be out there from 2 to 6:30. Thanks for listening. A very rare early Caps game. Pre-game starts next.
Thank you for coming.